Concerning the outreach effort, no, Nan is right. The station has never really done a real outreach effort, a campaign, an organized, thoughtful campaign to get members. You know, we've had fund drives, but we have never really done, you know.
People don't even know we exist. That's
yeah,
the problem.
Exactly.
That
the problem.
Is the
problem.
That's
right.
Exactly the problem.
Could I make a point of personal privilege here?
Yeah, you got
personal privilege? Personal privilege, yes. There is a WBAI membership campaign. It involves about 150 people right now, and it is ongoing every weekend. Here's our button. We're selling our buttons. We're advertising the station. You should buy this button, put it on, and become a walking advertisement for WBAI. We've passed out about, well, before the settlement, we passed out about 60,000 flyers promoting the boycott, but after the settlement and after everybody was returned, we've passed out about 35,000 flyers promoting WBAI. I invite you, Nan and Berthold, to become involved in the WBAI membership campaign. And anyone else out there in the listening audience, it's here, it's ongoing, and it's real. And we are talking to people about WBAI and spreading the word.
Before we take a break and make a transition so that listeners from other areas can chime in, Ray?
Yeah, I was going to say that I support that tremendously. However, I think that that is not enough, that it has to be integrated in an organic. I mean, if I'm, as a labor organizer, if I'm talking to my members about BAI, and that I put it within the context of their own struggle, I think then presenting to them a membership within the station is different from just doing tabling, although I think tabling is important because you give someone information, and if it's well written, they can take it home and think about it and think about the reality and decide to join. But I think it has to be coupled at the very least with reaching people where you know them, you know, at the job, then mention friends, but also coworkers and people that were in your neighborhood, people who are members of organizations.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a small, short musical break, and we're going to bring in folks from the different listening areas, and they're going to have their own questions, and we'll be right back at you. Piano, tickling those ivories, yes, sir. You tune to WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. This is, of course, the second of a community listener forums on the changes that have occurred at Pacifica and radio station WBAI. And we have some other guests in the studio now. It's a full house, and these are actually listeners from the listening area. We have Enzo Bart, who's from the Long Island Friends. We have Bob Stram, who's from Rockland Friends. Paul Servell, who also represents it, but is also a speaker, and Nora Friedman from Westchester Friends, and we want to welcome you all. Now, did you all have any questions about what you've been listening to for the past hour? Fred Bob. Fred Bob.
Hi, this is Bob from Rockland. I had a question and a comment. My first thought in hearing about membership being open to whomever, without any cost, whatever the cost is that I in my understanding is that of human nature is that people who get things for free don't appreciate what they have, and what we're talking about is something that's very valuable, and that is membership, voting membership, control of what this station is producing and saying and how it's being done. So that's one thought that I have. Another thought that I have is it's gone.
Well, it'll come back at you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Go ahead, Enzo.
I am Enzo Barr from Long Island, and I have a commercial first. We tomorrow have a meeting of the Long Island Friends, starting at 10 a.m. in the Huntington Movie Theater in the what used to be the new community cinema, and now is the art center. And second, I wanted to comment something with you. I live in Baldwin, and yesterday I went to a big discount store that is owned, and all the workers are from the Indian subcontinent. And when I reached there, I was listening to BAI in the car. When I stopped, I went into the store. It took me a while to realize that I was listening to BAI through their public announcement system.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a problem with... there were many dialectic contradictions here, and I hope they can be solved. But what I don't understand is the meaning of a election open wide, so everybody votes for somebody as if this would be the United States. Now, nationally, I still think, although I vote, that if voting nationally would change something, it would be forbidden. Why don't we think in organizing basic committees or community committees or community groups? We have, and as Gianni said, we have some volunteers, some committed activists. The committed activists live in different places. Why don't they become the seeds, the nucleus of a committee, of an organizing thing that would support BAI, and we lack, excuse the word, as a Soviet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about nomination of people that we be committed to the function of the and the mission of BAI, and would be useful in the lab. Now, anything has to be taken account two things. First of all, that we should be democratic, but we should in some way prevent another coup. And the other thing is we should keep alive the mission of Pacifica. So those were my comments.
Mm-hmm. Nora, did you have anything to say? Go ahead.
Okay, hi. I'm Nora from Westchester. Like Bob, I have to say I'm kind of dubious about any model in which just anybody can be part of it without showing even a small amount of commitment. And I really think that 3 hours a year is not that much to ask, especially if the opportunities to volunteer are brought to the person if they're not able to come to the station. And I can certainly understand not being able to come to the station. It's not easy for me. So that's my what I think about that. My other comment is that these lab meetings and the committee meetings and all have not been broadcast on the air, so I'm wondering why that is. It certainly limits listener access to knowing what's going on.
I agree with that. By the way, you are tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM Winning Dollar. If anybody wants to respond to what folks have just raised up, we are going to open up the lines now at 212-209-2900. That's the number to call to become a participant in this discussion.
Bob, I must admit, as a legal aid lawyer, you said one of the things that I hear all the time, which is I don't have to pay you. You're a legal aid lawyer. You couldn't possibly be any good. It's just that I am indigent and I can't afford anybody. There's that crass, vulgar kind of material notion that you get good services. We should contract out. We shouldn't use city workers because the private market provides better services, that you get what you pay for, and if you're not paying, therefore it's not good. I'm shame on you. I am terribly surprised. The fact of the matter is that most often it is the benevolence that proves its worth. It is nothing to do with paying for a service that necessarily gets you good and proper service. The idea that people don't love and have affection for this network because they are not necessarily able to or not willing to become subscribers is not the registration of their willingness to fight and engage in it and make it develop. So that's one thing that I think is an absolute fraud and really degenerates almost into crass commercialism. The other thing is, in terms of really the question Janice raised earlier, we resemble each other for the most part in this room now, class-wise, definitely race-wise. We have to address the reality that we can't keep replicating ourselves, and we don't know how. There is a cultural divide in this system, and if we want to have, if, and I question whether we do, if we want to have a truly diverse involvement, that people are going to have to make that determination to begin with. And the only way that can happen is if we are willing to go out and engage those folks and let them take a role to begin with. Go to Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn to a beleaguered community of immigrants there who is terrified by government at this point, and make some presentment of what this communication vehicle could mean, and let them have a role earlier on. They will become your listeners. They don't have to necessarily answer the funds during the drives, and we better figure out some better ways of raising money too in the long run, or some others, but they will become our faithful, our committed listeners, because they do care about what this station provides, which is programming, and programming that is more reflective of their needs, their interests, and their physical image and cultural concerns.
Okay, we're going to take some phone calls. And by the way, Mimi, you are saying that non-listeners become members of the local board? Is that basically what you're saying?
That people who will become listeners but are not necessarily now.
Well,
but
everyone's a potential listener.
Exactly. But constituencies become representatives.
Is there room for community organizations on the board in a rotating manner for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, anyway, we'll start taking some phone calls here. WBAI 99.5 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I'm listening to what you're saying. You were talking about the people who are subscribing that some of the people may have. Hello? Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Some of the people that subscribe may be having economical problems. I think that a large number of your listeners are those people. I'm one of them. I'm a working person. I don't have a lot of money, but I know I have submitted a sizable amount of money to the program because I appreciate the station so much. Unfortunately, I do have to go. So, and the people on Atlantic Avenue, I live from Brooklyn, a lot of Atlantic people who live on Atlantic Avenue do subscribe to WBAI, and I think that they should definitely, anyone who wants to be a member, needs to offer either money, time, or PR or something, because this is what the whole thing is about. This is a capitalist system. Nothing runs. This is a listener-sponsored, supported radio station. If you don't get the money from the listeners, if you don't get the energy from the listeners, you will not be able to keep the station going. we can find more creative ways other than funding to put the money in, but it will either require an offering of creativity, an offering of PR, an offering of time, an offering of funds. So that's just the way it is. This is the system that we work, that we live in. And a lot of the listeners that listen to this station are not economically, well embellished. They give the money because the station is so valid to what's going on in the environment. And it's not necessarily a situation now where it's a racial thing or a sexual thing. It's a survival thing. And your station addresses that particular topic. And that's why so many people of different diverse, energies and race and sexual proclivities listen to your station and are willing to give the money in order to fund it.
You're calling from Brooklyn?
I'm calling from work, so I'm like trying to talk real fast. Okay, so that's what I just want. Hey, my brother, I love the station, and I have given many times when I really couldn't afford it, but hey, no big thing, because you guys give me the service that I pay for. I think Mimi Moser is speaking about service that are being paid for. You give me what I pay for. This is what I love about you. I don't mind paying, but I want the services. And the people are interested in getting involved in the bylaws because they want to make sure that the station stays accessible to the listener and addresses the issues that we want to hear about. This is why I give my money, and this is why a lot of other listeners give their money as well. And so the bylaws, what we want to know is that the bylaws reflect that, will keep that in place, because we almost lost that 4 minutes. So we want to make sure that those bylaws are hitting those topics so nobody can slide in again and run the nonsense that they were trying to run at us just a year ago.
Well, thank you for your
call.
We appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I really enjoy these, these sessions. I think that it's much easier to build our listenership into contributors by being listener friendly. A lot of shows don't take calls. I'm here calling you from New Jersey. I am a supporter. However, after 20 rings, we get disconnected on a lot of shows. They say, okay, we're going to take calls now, and then they're oblivious to the fact that you get cut off after 20 rings. Now, why was the folio requiring, quote, a fundraiser this coming Saturday when, I already gave $50 for the transmitter in Berkeley, I think it was, in addition to mini drives, this, that, and the other thing. What I'm saying is I agree with somebody earlier who said we have to just assume listeners are out there, and when they appreciate the commodity we have, they'll eventually come on board. And I'm getting all these esoteric comments about, well, it's a fluid thing, the groups right now, it's Middle Eastern people being pressured and all, but the station still isn't listener friendly. You could, even if you don't have a folio, have a information number that tells you everybody's voicemail extension, so people, even if not at the time of the show, they could later on say, I like that show, and then they could turn other people on who could call that voicemail number. I want you really to hash out on the air now why you're not listener-friendly, and I really like the show. Thanks.
All right, thank you. And by the way, you can mail your comments into, to the Community Listener Forum here at WBAI at 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I think that's the number. WBAI, you're on the air. Oops, nobody's there. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening. Great show. I just wanted to address the issue of listenership and expanding listenership. Something I've noticed for a while now, that I've mentioned BAI to people I know and people I've met in the past who are interested in radio some, and they don't. Some of them actually surprisingly don't even know that BAI exists. And I've always felt that, I know it's expensive to advertise, but I've seen other nonprofit groups and I think even NPR have, either bus ads or subway ads. And just something small like that, it has a great impact, I think, in just making people aware of the station. And you could even try to transcend even, like, say, someone's opinion or first impression that, it's the station's too liberal for me. Because there might be shows that, are not political, that person might be interested in. And perhaps you could showcase a show on in an ad that maybe is sort of, you know, neutral in that respect, but may be of interest to a great number of people who may listen to a similar type of show on another type of station. And I think that would at least bring a new listener who may only listen to that show or may just get interested and see what other shows are available and may not have that same impression. And I just think that, you know, that I don't know how expensive all this is. Maybe you could have an advertising fundraiser. I don't know, you know, all the legal things about it. But I really think someone who commutes like I do and sees tons of ads all the time, I'm just amazed that all the years that I've listened to BAI, I've never seen anything that's gotten the name out there and the, you know, the frequency out there.
I know. I'd like to see some a big billboard along the side of a bus.
It doesn't even have to be that big.
No, it doesn't have to be that big. Or in the subway cars. I remember when ACT UP did a campaign. But go ahead, Nan Rubin.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling.
I want to thank the caller. He brought up a number of things that I think are actually kind of important in terms of thinking about actually doing an audience-building campaign. And one of them is that listening to BAI is a little bit hit or miss. We're definitely not the most listener-friendly station, that's for sure. We could do a lot better in that. But it's also hit or miss in terms of when you turn the radio on and whether what you're going to listen to is something that appeals to you. And I know that when I've asked people and talked to them about BAI, very often they say, oh, I turned the station on, I couldn't stand it. I turned it on, I couldn't stand it. It took a long time before they actually turned the station on at a time of day when they liked what they were listening to. And then they got hooked. But it was definitely not something that was consistent. And sometimes it was just the mood they were in. There was one person that I asked about how they got listening to the station, and they said, you know, I clean houses. And this one house, they always had the radio turned to BAI, and I'd turn it off every time I'd come in. And then one day, I just didn't get around to turning it off, and I left it on, and that's when I got hooked. So I think there's really an issue there of getting people to tune in as much as they can, suggesting times that they might find things interesting to them, but it's really personal. Listening to the radio is a personal thing. People identify with the station individually. They listen as individuals, and they relate to WBAI as individuals. We all, this is a personal thing for us. This is our individual, personal radio station. And if we want to get more listeners, what we need to do is encourage more people to listen at different times and get them at a time when we hope they'll hit it at that moment when they're ready.
And then...
Who's speaking?
Hello? Mimi, one of the things I wanted to mention,
just one second,
what we haven't been able to do in the last year, which we did, is we used to go out to the African Street Festival at Girls and Boys High, which has over a million people in a couple of day period of time. This year, we've discovered each other again. We've been to Rockland, we've been to Westchester, we've been to Long Island, we've been to New Jersey, we've been to Staten Island. We are just beginning to get physically back in touch with each other. And that has created an enormous community of people and has really revitalized all of us. And that is a fundamental way of communicating and becoming listener friendly, and that is continuing the process of extending beyond the physical boundaries of this station. It was most wonderful to be in Washington on April 20th and see a dozen or so of our people there who were intimately involved with putting together that activity. And there was that extended community of activism that has been created, which was stimulated by our own adversity and by losing the airwaves to a certain extent. We must keep that up.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Where are you from?
The Bronx.
All right. Boogie down.
Yes. Which is sort of the subject of why I'm calling, in a way. I want to thank you, you know, for this program and for the one that you had before. Also, and for the opportunity also to have kind of discussion, especially at night, because a lot of the, historically, a lot of these like report to listener things and all that has always been like during the time when people are running around getting out of the house to go to work, and it's a very hard time to stop and think and call and do all that, so really appreciate it. But I wanted to talk, to sort of follow up on something that Mimi said earlier about the composition of the group and sort of take it, the group is there tonight, and take it a little further and also say that I think it reflects in things that have to do with the diversity of the audience and the LAB and a lot of these those things, which is that you know, while you have people there supposedly representing different geographies of the listener audience, the outer boroughs, in particular like the Bronx and Queens, tend to really get left out of the BAI mix, both in terms of news coverage, in terms of outreach, and, for example, in, you know, in terms of tonight, I mean, there was a period of time both before and after the coup, for example, when we were getting, and I think it was good that we were getting news coverage and discussion of real issues in New Jersey, which hadn't been around BAI for a while, but we never get those kind of discussions about the Bronx or about Queens, for example. I mean, once in a while, you get a sort of Asian-oriented Queens issue on Asia-Pacific Forum or Latino-oriented Bronx issue on Latino Journal, but it takes Amadou Diallo to really get news coverage up here. And I just think that that there needs to start to be a consideration of how to do that. And instead of, I mean, I think it's right to think about people having connection to the station, whether by volunteering or donating or whatever, to be on the LAB. I think the station also needs to think about coming out to us and thinking about working with community groups in the community to do a forum that's both educational and also, you know, features in some way BAI, and start to increase the coverage and maybe even have, you know, a once-a-month program that covers some of these issues, you know, in Flushing or in Marsania or in some of the neighborhoods that are really out here. And it's not just Brooklyn and Manhattan. That's New York City.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate your and Berto wants to speak.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. That is why becoming a member of WBI is very important, to vote for the lab, because one of the role that the lab may play is to help create and support program.
Wait, I just wanted to say,
even some of the people here tonight, this is what happened the last time. We get off the subject of membership. Now we're talking about programming, which is something we certainly are going to talk
programming
about.
Programming and membership are connected.
I can't hear what she's saying.
She said that programming and membership is connected, and you're listening now to Janice K. Bryant.
I know.
Programming and membership, once we define what the lab is going to do, but maybe it will be, but right now the lab doesn't have anything really to do with programming.
Well that's certainly true, but as a radio station, we certainly have a task before us to reach out to those communities. And I don't think it's unrelated to what Nan was saying earlier about us reaching out to different communities. So it is a question of programming, and people forget that WBAI is a radio station. This is what we are. And so that in order for us to reach out and to gather more people, it's incumbent upon us to get programming that respond to our listeners. That's what it is.
Okay. I'm certainly not saying that we shouldn't have programs.
But you're saying
that
we shouldn't discuss it, and I'm saying that
I'm
this
saying
is the
that
forum
we're getting ready
to discuss it.
While
there is a question, on whether what role will the lab play in terms of programming. I think that's a whole other discussion. And what you're saying is true, but at the same time, when you criticize the listener because she brought it up,
I wasn't criticizing her.
Yeah.
Why do you think
she's
the critic?
I think that this is right. I mean, I do agree that programming is important, because, you know, what Mimi said imply that people sometimes don't participate because they're not involved. They don't hear themselves.
They don't hear themselves.
And that the last caller said that. So, you know, it is very much programming. But what happened the last time we had this show is that we were talking about what people want to see here on the air. Mm-hmm. So we had decided as much as possible we were going to see if we get people's opinion as to what they think. You know, who in this case, who should be allowed to vote? Who's there for membership?
No, I agree.
And try to
I
focus
agree
on that issue rather than
that.
Sway. And
but
that's what
Janice
was trying to do.
I would also not like to cut folks off.
And this is not addressed at the listener, but that's addressed to all of us. Really.
You know, yeah. I think that you can't tell people what to say on the radio.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janice.
You know, maybe we can make this sister also one of our news correspondents. You know, we used to have news correspondents from Staten Island and other venues. So we're going to bring people into the news department. And should they be able to vote then?
Yes. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for the program. It's really great. In terms of trying to decide who should vote, I still find myself a little bit not really clear about how the whole takeover happened. Was that something that was... I missed the previous program that covered this, that was in this time slot, and I was wondering... I don't know if I can really make a decision about who should be allowed to vote until I have a clearer picture of how this whole takeover took place. It seems to me like it happened over a very long period of time. It came to a head at the time of the Christmas coup, but the national board was corrupted or taken over, whatever you want to call it, over, I think, a good 10-year period, was it not?
I would guess a good 5 to 6 year period.
So, has there been a discussion about exactly how that transpired? That would be very helpful to me in being able to make a better decision about who should vote. I mean, and I do feel very strongly that if a person wants to vote, that they have to demonstrate some kind of commitment. And I think somebody else said 3 hours a year is not, I don't think that's too much to ask. I know I give money to the station. I don't have a lot of time, but I try to be as generous as I can. I've given more to WBAI than I have given to everything that I've ever given to, because I think it's so incredibly important and that it supports so many things. And also as far as reaching out and gaining more membership, I'm a little anxious about the idea of advertising on posters and stuff, because I think that the issues that BAI covers are so sensitive that you really have to talk to people on a personal basis, and I do it every single day. I talk about BAI to at least one person every single day and try to get people. In fact, I was thinking of typing up a little thing and making copies of it so that I could take it with me and give it to somebody and say, this is what it's about. Check it out. This program. I used to hand out the old program guide. I'd make copies of that, and I'd say, you would like this program. Check this program out at this time. But anyway, I guess I'm kind of running all over the place.
Where are you from, listen?
I'm from Manhattan. I've been here 23 years now. I'm not originally from New York.
All right.
But I've been a listener to the station, I think, 3 or 4 years. And when I first heard the station, I found it difficult to listen to. I didn't even understand what people were talking about. And I don't remember when it was that I actually started, you know, getting hooked. Now I never listen to anything else except once in a while I flip it over to hear what the monkeys are talking about. I mean, they just, you know, what do they want us to believe? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, where would we be today if the Christmas coup hadn't happened? Maybe things would have been different.
Right. I appreciate what you're asking, really, about the the history of Pacifica over the last 5, 6, 7 years and what happened. And basically, it was a takeover. And I think by taking the power from the local advisory board was really the linchpin in all of this, in which they could do anything, the national board could do anything that they wanted to do.
So how did they manage to take the power from the lab?
They use an organization called the CPB, which is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, in order to do that. So that was the way in which, and they really pulled a hokey doke on the listeners and the staff of WBAI and there were certain individuals, which I refuse to name at this point, who were responsible for that. Nora?
Just a very quick comment about, as I understand it, in 1997, the National Board made themselves self-selecting, so they had no accountability whatsoever to any local body. But even before that, it was not a very high level of democracy because the LABs were self-selecting. So it was better than what we had after 97, but it still was not so good. And that's my comment.
And I don't know if you're hooked up to the web, but there's plenty on the history of Pacifica around, right?
Yeah, I just want to add that the National Board is looking into producing a national show, a special on the history that would specifically take every station's experience. But one thing is clear, that towards this, there are many factors, and one of them is that we were not really a national network that was alive and interacting together. And in a way, this crisis has awakened us, and this is a challenge for us to stay awake and build a kind of a link and interactive relationship that never existed before.
Right. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. Before you go, yes. You can get more information at www.savewbai.tao.ca.
T-A-O-T as in Thomas.
Yeah, A-O.ca.
Okay.
And it's a historical. There's a historical article on WBA.
There's also WB Pacifica.
Yeah,
WBPacifica.org.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
For calling.
All right. Thank you.
WBAI Union.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have so many things to say. I think I could do a 20-minute monologue on all that I've heard.
Don't do that.
I won't do that. I want to go right directly to why this happened. This caller who just hung up, he wants to know how this happened. Well, Gary Null had an interview on his show with one of the former members of the National Board, who I think was the treasurer, and they attributed what happened in December, with what was going on, all the turmoil recently, to around 1995, 1994, when the National Board changed arbitrarily the bylaws of Pacifica.
Now, that's certainly true.
Okay, what's that?
That's certainly true.
Yes, sir. Yes. Okay.
That's right. We're referring everyone
good.
To...
I want you to say that immediately. Now, I subscribed to the station this past drive with a senior citizen $25 membership, which I found out later after calling Evelyn Andino in the office that my check was received and it was posted, and BAI did get the money. I also went to the benefit at Ethical Culture Society, and I've been listening to this station since. I must mention his name because he was here a couple of hours ago. Steve Post was on the air, Sarah Fishko, Larry Joseph, et cetera, et cetera. The Golden Age. That's how long I've been listening to the station. Now, what I want to say is that I'm a disgruntled subscriber because, number one, here it is 2 months after the drive. I have not received acknowledgement of my money. I have not received the parchment that was supposed to be sent, which was a reproduction of the first page of the folio. I have not received a membership card. I have not received anything. Okay, so now, in 3 hours, I don't want to go into what everything everybody said. There's not enough time. 3 hours is absolutely nothing to qualify anyone to vote. In my opinion, maybe 3 hours every month, to a total of at least 15. Come on, 3 hours is absolutely nothing. You know, by the time you get up to the station and sit down at a desk or whatever you have to do, the hour is up.
Now you've raised a lot of issues. Now,
okay,
let's respond to. Let's hold up. let us respond to some of them. And one of them, Paul Servell, wants to respond to concerning the amount of hours.
Yes.
Wait a minute, Paul.
3 hours a year he's allowing.
Wait. Let him speak. Go ahead, Paul.
The three-hour criteria is based on the notion that 3 hours of work at a living wage is equivalent to the minimum contribution of $25. So it's roughly 3 hours at $8 an hour. That's where the 3 hours comes from. Well, from the minimum wage.
Right. WBA, are you in the air?
Hello.
Hello. Where are you from?
I have a comment.
Where are you from?
Manhattan.
Okay, go ahead.
Check it. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm the type of person that believes that, and I want to get your opinions on this, all right, that what happened on 9/11, I think was justified for the simple fact that, you know, what's going on.
Well, listen here, we're not talking about that right now. That's way outside the purview, even in the Janus.
No,
I understand. It's a legitimate question, but we're not prepared to deal with that.
This is not the leverage show.
WBA, are you in the air? WBA, are you in the air?
Yes, Fred, why did you cut me off?
I didn't cut you off.
Well, my phone went dead.
Well, I'm going to cut you off again because there are other people listening, but I think we responded to some of your points. And,
No, hardly.
No. Wait a minute now. There are a lot of people calling in, and we want to get as many people as possible. I don't think
I had any more time than any of the other. I think there are other listeners who had much more time than I spoke. Goodbye.
Okay. WBAI, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, what? Let me turn off my radio.
Where are you from?
Manhattan.
Okay, go ahead.
And I've supported the station for quite a few years. Let me clear my throat. Excuse me. I've listened to the station quite a few years, and although I don't like everything on the station, I support it. I love it. Even the things I don't love, I love, because people should have a chance to say what they need to say. But particularly... It seems to me that because of what happened with the gradual taking over of the board of directors at Pacifica, yes, and then with the horribleness that happened in New York, which was appalling to me, how could one be sure if just anybody votes that they wouldn't contribute to something like that happening again? That's my worry. I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just expressing my fear.
Okay.
Now, I personally, I'm a senior, and I'm still working, and I don't know if I would have time or even would feel safe to, you know, travel over at night, let's say, to be on the switchboard to help when you're collecting money and stuff like that. So what I do is tell a lot of people about the station, and I give as much money as I can, and it's usually several hundred dollars a year at least, except that after the takeover, I didn't want to give any more money. But that's my question, that we have to be very vigilant.
Okay. Nan Rubin wants to respond to that. Nan?
Okay. So I'll hang it off and take it on the over here.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Without going into any of the long, excruciating history of what's happened here over the last 5-6 years, I do want to just mention that, in fact, the people on the National Pacifica Board who voted to change the bylaws and do all of the really nasty stuff that they did for the takeover were from the local boards. Every one of them was a person from a local board. There isn't any guarantees about anything. And the structure that existed before all of this started happening was not a particularly strong one politically for that reason. So I think we really need to take a look at it top to bottom. I'm not even convinced that there... I mean, I started out by saying that we need to take a look at even what the role of the LABs should be. I think there should be some really radical changes in terms of the whole structure.
Yeah.
And the question about vigilance is important, and having real broad nominations, real broad ways for people to be invited to participate, real broad ways for people to feel welcome in even proposing that they might become someone who might serve on any of our committees or something like that. I mean, we have a long way to go to really put that in place. But there's no guarantees for any of it.
You're tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, and we're discussing membership to our organization called WBAI. Mimi Rosenberg.
Well, you know, Nan, as somebody who's been on the board for a number of years, including with you, the one thing that we can certainly understand is that the level of dialogue and debate that's taking place now, which was not there before, the transparency, the concept of advise and consent, these were things that were not in, there was no sunshine, there was nothing that was revealed. And while it's an ideological debate, because actually the people who did come into supremacy on the board knew exactly what they were doing and what the worth of the station was, what the worth of the commercial license was, what the ideological benefit of this station was, and they stood in opposition to that. But what is happening here tonight, what happened here last week, and what has been stimulated by the listeners in cooperation with many of the programmers is what is our biggest safeguard, and that is open dialogue and debate and input and advising consent into the process. And that is the way we will preclude the kind of situation, or prevent the kind of situation that we saw, which was ultimately a pretty unilateral takeover.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, again, I'm the one who said that we should stay within the topic of membership. But a caller before raised a question which I think is important. It affects many people. Mm-hmm. And that was the notion of having sent a contribution and expecting a premium and not receiving it.
Right.
I may say that the problem really started even before we came back to the station.
Right.
There are thousands, at least hundreds of premiums that didn't go out because the people were focusing clearly on anything but run the station properly. So by the time there's been a new management now, what we find out is that some of the premiums are no longer available because the people who were providing them did not receive any money, they were not paid, and they got rid of the products. So as I know it's been said on the air, and I'm saying it again, people are going to be offered alternate premiums when the original one is not available, and if they will insist, even get the money back. Hopefully people will understand that will not help the station. Also, one of the key individuals here is the director of public affairs. Mm-hmm. And that position has been filled, and the person that's taking that position is working very feverishly on that. So we are very much aware of that dilemma. We're trying to resolve it as quickly as possible.
Now, many, as just a response to that and what we went through just now, I think, you know, all of this stuff is interconnected, and I don't think we can just mechanically just say we can't do this or that. But our main focus today is on membership at BAI and to Pacifica, and the number here is 209-2900. WBAI, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, I got my membership card in the mail recently.
All right.
I'm treasuring it like a credit card. I appreciate that, you know. And also, I want to tell people, I mean, really listen, anytime you got to listen to a radio for a whole year,
listener, what happened? Are you on a... Hello?
Hello?
Hello. We were losing you for a moment.
Oh, okay.
All right, go ahead.
I said, anytime somebody have to listen to a sports radio show for a whole year, should be glad to come back to BAI.
That's true.
I'm just saying sports, but anything else is really unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to this show since Julius Lester was on. So that's going back.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Oh, yes, I know. You know.
Well,
Julius Lester was on many years ago.
Many years, yes. And I mean, as a matter of fact, it was so funny that I was just changing the station when I heard his voice, and his voice grabbed me. Mm. Just his voice, nothing else, you know. And then when I started listening, to the show, to BAI, really, you know. And I've been a listener ever since. But that coup that went down, I'm just getting back to normal now, too.
All right, well, we appreciate your comment.
Okay.
And stay in there. Hang in there.
Oh,
right?
I'm going to do that.
All right, now. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Where are you from, by the way?
Oh, Manhattan.
All right, Manhattan.
Okay,
WBAI, you in there? You're in the house.
Hold on one second. I'm running across the room.
And you're tuned to WBAI. We'd also like to take this opportunity to say that you can help bring back the WBAI folio in a fundraiser tomorrow at the Theater for the New City at First Avenue and East 10th Street from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you can hear some of your favorite producers tomorrow. All right. WBAI, you're in the air.
Yes, this is David from Brooklyn.
All right.
I've listened to BAI since I was in college 40 years ago. There's a lot about BAI that's really a pain in the butt. But when I listen to programs like this one, which is wonderful, and there should be more of these, and when I listen to the national board meetings, I'm filled with all kinds of hope and for the future. And then when I turn on BAI, it's the same old, same old. They're going to lose people like me. I have written 10 letters to 7 people at the station. I've sent emails, I've sent voice, and not one response. The only response I got was my membership card, finally, which was good.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think they need some work over there. You call up the switchboard, and the switchboard can't even tell you when is the next meeting of the lab. Now, that's just my comments, but what you're discussing tonight, I think, is very important because the last 10 or 15 years I've watched as BAI changed and became something different that I listen to less. I think we need more participation, the broadest participation of all of us is possible, and it would be wonderful if the LABs at some point in the future had more power than just advisory power, but I think that's down the road. But it would be great if more people were able to participate, because that's one of the best things that's happened to BAI. When I first listened, it was mostly white men. I mean, we're talking about the 1960-something, early 60s. The wonderful thing is the listenership now seems to me to reflect more and more of what New York City is like. We need to bring all those people in. I don't care how, and I think we have to do it more aggressively than we're doing. I don't see anything wrong with advertising on a bus. As you said, ACT UP did that, and they got to be known. I think it was once a wonderful community station that has lost its way, and now all of us have to bring it back.
All right. Well, I'm sure all of us agree with this, and thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. WBAI, you're in the air. WBAI, you're in the air. Uh-oh. WBAI, you're in the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I think, I'm from Manhattan, by the way. I think a model for a membership would be something on the level of the Consumers Union, where you get your subscription, you get a magazine. Your case, it probably would be the folio. But they have a board, and the members vote for that board. The board consists of people who have expertise in their particular field. And they send out a brochure every year when they have the elections describing the qualifications. Now, once they're in, I don't give a damn because I trust the people who are on the board. They're going to go review the product. They don't get any commercial advertising. And they print their consumer report, which I get. Sometimes it suits me and sometimes it doesn't. I don't own a car. I don't care for the car report. I feel the same way about the Metropolitan Tenants Council. I really don't use them that much, but I know they do support tenants in the city. So I give them a senior citizen's subscription. I do it every year. I think that BAI has to coordinate with a lot of the same nonprofit and community-oriented, social-oriented organizations. They seem to drift away. I also don't like the idea of treating the police as non-workers. There are police there who, by nature, work for before the authority. However, there are policemen who are workers, and they go there to get their check and go home. Many times I hear the abuse. The firemen get a lot of credit because they save lives. Police also do a good job, and a lot of them are rotten if you get them out. But the idea is that BAI should set a standard, and when the board gets in there, whoever you put on doesn't matter. I don't care who the hell gets. As a matter of fact, I get more out of kick out of hearing the listeners when they get on, and in my opinion, some of them are way out, but I like to hear it. What the other side of the fence is. As Mao said, let the flowers bloom.
All right. Well, thank you. It is. We got about 5 minutes left.
And all right.
Thank you for your comments, and we'll hear from you again, I hope.
Yes.
Okay. It is 11:55. Creative Unity is getting ready to come on board, and I'd like to go around the table and get everybody's last comments before we head on. I guess there'll be another community listener forum next week here in WBAI, and we'll continue this whole process. Next week, I hope we'll talk about the lab, which I think many of this discussion stems from, of the nature of the lab and how it's going to be, or what people think of the lab. I beg your pardon? I don't know, but I will let you know when we'll be on. I don't know when we're going. But, Ray?
Do you want to start here?
Oh, you want to start either end? I don't care. Nan?
Oh, I'm happy to start. I just got 2 cents that I'll throw in, and that is let 100,000 listeners bloom.
Boom.
I think the more listeners, the better, and the more ways we can get people, get listeners involved, the better. And I'm certain we can devise some appropriate ways to ascertain who are really committed and loyal listeners.
And by the way, if you really want to communicate with us here, you can mail us your comments at the Community Listener Forums at 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Thank you. Bertol.
Yes, to the point, I think the subscribers should be voters, volunteers should be voters, and all those who can prove prove that they subscribe to the Pacific Commission. There should be no constituency model, as I describe it. Any nomination committee should not support any specific candidate. Proportional representation with choice voting and strong diversity.
Well, you know, I think that we're going to have to start discussing about, quote, the affirmative action, racial quotas. All of this stuff is going to have to be part of another discussion, and this is the whole process that is unfolding here concerning affirmative action quotas and other proposals. Mimi Rosenberg.
Fundamentally, the thing that I'd like to contribute to this is that we must restructure the process to reflect much more fundamentally this sobering reality of inequality in our society. And that, I think, is absolutely fundamental and must become a much more strategic discussion when we look at membership and governance.
Enzo Bard from the Long Island Friends.
Well, I'm very glad to hear all this discussion, all this diversity, and I like to make clear that I don't look like Mimi Rosenberg whatsoever.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
They all look alike.
Bob Strand.
Yes, we do.
My name is Bob Stram. I'm from Rockland, and I wanted to thank our hosts for inviting me, and I wanted to say that more than anything else, I feel that it's incumbent upon the station to put out more of these type of programs. It's really a question of informing the listeners and keeping the listeners informed. Of course, the station isn't the only way, and this is for people who maybe aren't well connected on the internet, and this is something that there's a wealth of information out there. Even if you do not have a computer, all libraries have computers, and the librarians can help you easily get on to the subject.
closer about?
I want to stress the importance of a very rigorous nominations committee to search for and recruit strong pro-mission candidates who are have a track record in social activism, in the labor movement, in the peace movement, in the movements for social justice. And I think that there's a connection between that proposal and what Mimi has suggested regarding a constituent assembly. A constituent assembly is a wonderful idea, but we're not going to be able to put one together in the next 6 months. In the meantime, the best that we can do is to find representatives of all of those constituencies and recruit them and bring them in as candidates in the lab election.
Nora?
Yes, hi. I'm Nora Freeman
from Westchester.
Okay. Yes. I want to thank Dred for having this show on.
Not just me, it's...
And Ray and Janet. Yes. And for having the show on and for inviting listeners to participate.